My brother, Lewis, my friend, good morning. I'm glad you're here. Miss Kay, Miss Tiffany, you too. I'm glad to see y'all. I'm glad to see all of y'all. May the Lord be blessed for gathering His people faithfully. He doesn't leave us alone. He gathers us back again and again. Because that's who He is. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We know that You're mighty and that You know all. And Father, if we wondered whether You were good or not, we would despair. But Father, You are kind and merciful and gracious and near to the broken in spirit. Father, would You be with us now? Our desire is that we would know You, that we would study Your Word, and that in knowing it, we would know You, and in knowing You, we would love You. Please help us. We know we can't love You apart from Your grace working in us. We beg You, we cry out, please have mercy on us. Continue to have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed You. Help us to look to the Son and live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. We've been going through a study in John, as you know. Last time we read and discussed verses 16 through 40. And most of that is a discussion of Jesus being the bread of life. Quote, "Labor not for food which perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him God the Father has set His seal." In the midst of this, they asked Him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." And I believe very wickedly, they respond, "What sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Do something like Moses. You say you're so good. What are you going to show us, Jesus?" Even though He's already showed them a great deal and they don't believe. Jesus answers them their appeal to Moses that actually God is the one who provided bread in the wilderness, not Moses. "And now the Father has given you true bread from heaven, bread that perishes not, but that is giving life to the world." They respond, verse 34, "Sir, give us this bread always." Still not understanding. Verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread." Do you not get this? I'm the bread. Me. "Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in Me will not thirst." And we understand He wasn't talking about normal bread, Jonathan. He's not talking about normal bread and water which perishes, but bread that we must eat continually, constantly. And what is that bread? How would you describe it? It's the bread of coming to Jesus and believing in Him that we must do. And believing in the Savior satisfies our deep hunger. And those of the house of faith can testify with me. Does he not satisfy your hunger? And if your hunger's not been satisfied, taste and see that the Lord is good. And have your hunger satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They will be filled. Verse 36, Jesus says, but seeing is not the problem here. You've already seen the sign. You've already seen. The problem is you don't believe. Unless they accuse Jesus of being a poor teacher, that you do all these things and people still don't believe. He says to them, all that the Father has given to me will come. You don't believe. Now listen, the ones whom God has given to me will come. You're not coming right now. And the jury, the verdict is still unclear whether God will give, has given you to me or not. But all that the Father gives will come, and whoever comes I will never cast out. And we discussed this. It's God's will for Jesus to save all the souls of those that he has given to Jesus. And I'll ask this question again. Does Jesus do the will of the Lord? Does he perform all of God the Father's holy will perfectly? Yes. Somebody, all of you say, amen. He performs the will of the Lord without error, without mistake, always and only does he do the will of God. And the will of God is that Jesus lose none of all that have been given to him. And I submit to you, he will not. He will perform the will of the Lord. And Jesus says as much to them. Jesus always obeys, he always accomplishes God's will. And he concludes, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him, it is the Father's will for them to have eternal life. And Jesus will accomplish it, and he will raise him up. Who? The believer. He will raise him up on the last day. Well, that brings us to today's text, verses 41 through 60, God willing, 59. Somewhat lengthy, but I think we can do it. Verse 41, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. May God bless the reading of Holy Scripture. Verse 41, the Jews grumbled. Sound familiar? Just as their ancestors had done in the wilderness, constantly grumbling against God. Remember? Moses says, "You're not grumbling against me, you're grumbling against God." And here they are again. Think about this. Remember how they grumbled about what they were eating? And here they are complaining about the true bread from heaven. How can they say he's from heaven? We know his parents! Do they? Have they ever asked Mary and Joseph about Jesus' birth? Do they know him really? Have they ever heard how before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit? They hadn't asked that question. Don't you think a person who'd performed the mighty works that Jesus did should be looked into and to know his background? Where was he born? What village? Lots of people thought he was the promised prophet, and yet they didn't dig into his background. Well, I know he lives here now, but the neighbors say he didn't always live in this area. Right? They didn't dig in. They assumed he was just like them. Even though they saw the signs, they didn't see the signs. If they had seen the signs, they would have concluded he's God. Even the wind obeys him. Didn't they know that God's seal was set on Jesus when he healed people? As we discussed this morning, did things that only God can do, and yet Jesus does them. Verse 43, Jesus answers them, "Do not grumble among yourselves." You know, grumble is an onomatopoeia word, meaning its meaning is the way it sounds when you say it, grumble. They grumble about him. Don't grumble about me. The problem is your dark minds and your depraved hearts. Quote, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil." The problem is you are completely overthrown and lost by sin and the devil. And we'll see that in our upcoming chapters as Jesus tells them, "The problem is you don't know my Father, you have a different Father." And he begins to tell them about that Father. And these same folks who are grumbling about Jesus, they continue to be blessed by God's grace to the world. Don't you know, day to day and night to night, God's glory is being shown and manifested throughout this world? We see it every instance. and everything, and little rabbits jumping across the yard, and birds in the air, and mighty beasts in the ocean. God's glory is everywhere. And it's speaking. It never ceases to speak. I'm God. I'm powerful. I'm divine. And these Jews know it more than others. And yet they continue to grumble like Israel of old. Sin's power over their minds, and ours too, over our wills, over our hearts. Never will our hearts lead us to the Savior. Left alone, never. What your heart will do is run away from the Savior and say, "Oh, it is so bright. I hate that light." Isn't that what the Scripture says? For fear their deeds will be exposed. And they will be exposed, by the way. We talked about this morning, but we deceive ourselves, and we sort of, even though we know He knows, we think maybe it won't come to light. It will. All sins will be exposed. But listen, thanks. The good news is, thanks be to God, He doesn't leave His elect alone. He doesn't say, repent and believe in the Savior and leave them alone. They would perish in that state. They would run away. But what does He do instead of leaving them alone? Listen, and you know it to be true if you're a Christian. God draws you in. And sometimes this word, we think more of like He attracts. Like a flower attracts butterflies or bees. But that's, I believe God does attract, but that's not what Jesus means here. To draw. The word can mean to drag, to compel. You cannot come to the Son unless He compels you to come. Not attracts and says, I'm really good. Try. He does do that. I believe God does do that. And He says, taste and see. I believe that. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. The problem of the depraved mind and heart needs something more than it can do. It is unable. We know this in our doctrine, right? Total hereditary inability. Depraved completely. This word, to draw, is a powerful word. No one can come to me unless God... This is really what Jesus is saying. No one can come unless God breaks the power of reigning sin. You won't want to come. You're a slave. You're bound up anyway. You're not free. You can't leave anytime you want. But you know this? Whoever the Son sets free, you hear that? You don't set yourself free, you can't. But whoever He sets free is free indeed. He's free. Free to be a slave of Jesus. Verse 45, Jesus says, it's written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Isaiah 54:13. Not like the Israelites of old that taught their neighbors, know the Lord. The implication is some of them didn't know the Lord. But that's not the case. Jesus said, they'll all be taught of God. If anyone knows me, it's because God teaches them. The new Jew, somebody asks you, are you Jewish? You could say yes. The new Jew, the new Israelite, is taught by God. And they know Him. Why? Because He's a good teacher. God is a good teacher. How good is God at drawing someone to himself? Go back to one of the meanings, drag. How good is God at dragging someone to him? And really, if you think about it, sometimes our hearts recoil at that thought that God would drag you. But it's actually even more gracious, isn't it? Even you'd rather perish, and he will not allow you to perish. Even though your own wicked heart says, well, I'll see you in hell. God will not allow it. It's his purpose to save you, and he will draw you to himself. But how good is he at teaching them? The text says, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not some, everyone. All that are taught of the Father, they come to me. If they don't come to me, then I know my Father didn't teach them. Because if he taught them, they would come, right? Everyone that God teaches comes to me. And if someone doesn't come to me, well, we know why. God didn't teach them. In addition to their depraved minds and wicked hearts. All that the Father draws and teaches come to Jesus. Verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. So Jesus here is making sure there's no misunderstanding. You can't be taught by God directly. You see this? This is interesting. Jesus is saying, if you're going to come to me, you have to be taught by God. And you know how you're taught by God? By me. You can't know God except through me. You can't go directly. You need a mediator. I reveal God. I've seen the Father. I know him because I came from him. He said this repeatedly in this chapter. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I reveal God. And so Jesus' point here is, you need to be taught by God, but don't go looking for him by yourself because no one can see him, only me. But if you pay attention to me, you'll see him. You understand that? Jesus is part of the Godhead. Verse 47, truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Now listen, I believe that the Scriptures give an invitation, whosoever believes will not perish. Believe, you won't perish. But I don't think that's what Jesus' point is here. He's telling us a state of affairs. Those who are drawn by God, those who are taught by God, those who hear and learn from God, whoever believes has eternal life. God has given it to them. Belief is not the reason that you're saved. The fact that a dark and a depraved mind believes Jesus, it's evidence that God is drawing them and saving a poor, miserable soul. Listen, this is a strong passage. And I know lots of you know this well, but listen, please don't recoil and grumble. This passage is very clear. It's super clear. Don't recoil and grumble at the Scriptures. Plain teaching that men and women are unable to come to Christ unless he does something. Not just a general call. Do you know the general call has gone to every person, almost every person in the United States? I don't know how many have never heard, but the majority have heard the name of Jesus. And yet the majority, they don't come. They don't come. And why did you come? What makes you different? He made you different. He changed you. He taught you. He drew you. Praise be to God for His grace and His mercy to draw sinners. It's by the power of God we're drawn into the throne of grace. We can find help in times of trouble. Verse 48, Jesus goes back, I am the bread of life. Having dealt with the reason of their grumbling, and he's addressed to them, you know, it's necessary that the Father draw you and teach you if you're going to accept me. Jesus returns to his original point. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. And so verses 49, what kind of bread am I? What kind of bread is Jesus? He's like the bread that came down from heaven, but a different kind. And you know this is all a metaphor, right? We're not cannibals. We're not going to eat Jesus, right? And that thought, that idea would probably be offensive to the Jews anyway, right? They're not allowed to eat meat with blood in it or drink blood. We're not cannibals. It's a metaphor. But listen, that bread that they ate sustained the Israelites, right? Day by day, they could collect enough for that day. They could eat it. And the text says immediately some tried to collect more than a day and keep it for later, and it spoiled and had worms in it. But on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, they could collect twice as much and it didn't spoil. You see the providence of God over this? And it sustained them, and their lives didn't perish for a while, even though they were as a vapor. And we are too. But the bread that they ate, it perished, didn't it? Did it not? Their temporal lives perished. But Jesus' teaching here is if you eat the bread of life, you live forever by its power. If you believe in Jesus, if you eat the bread of life, you live forever with God in heaven. A soul, listen, a soul who feeds on Christ gives proof that God is saving them. That God has given him eternal life. The manna in the wilderness gave them life for a while, but the bread of life, Jesus, the Son of God, he gives eternal life. Everlasting life. Life without end. And listen, lest this be a stumbling block to you, it's not this life without end. Where you can't get out of bed in the morning and your back hurts and your knees hurt and you have trouble with your coworkers and your cows are always getting lost out of their fence and your car's breaking down. Not that forever and ever and ever. We wouldn't want that, would we? Not that. But in the presence of God Almighty forever and ever, where there's no tears or sickness or death, that Jesus conquered that. This is a minor skirmishes that are still happening. Right? Jesus is risen. And we will rise too unto eternal life. Life without end. And Jesus gives his body as the bread. Verse 51, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. They should have known already this is all a metaphor, but he's saying, by my body, sin will be forgiven. by my body, by my sacrifice, souls are satisfied of their spiritual hunger. If we go back to verse 52, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're still hung up on that. How can he? He's taught them a lot of great things, deep things about how God must draw them to him if they're going to be saved. And they're still like, no, wait a minute. How are we going to eat him? And what does eating and drinking mean? We've already discussed it. But some take this to be a strong passage of the Lord's Supper. I disagree. Are there shadows of it, knowing what we know about the rest of the New Testament? Yes, there are. And what does the Lord's Supper show us? That we ought to believe and remember and trust in our Savior and continually believe. But is this a passage about the Lord's Supper? I think not. If you look at verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread. Whoever comes shall not hunger. Whoever believes shall not thirst. And then in verse 53, unless you eat, you will hunger. Unless you drink, you will thirst. And so if you just replace that eat and drink, it's the same pattern to come and believe. We understand what eat and drink means. To eat and drink the flesh and the blood of Jesus is to come to Jesus, to believe in him. And you know what? Jesus promises, the one who comes, I will raise up on the last day. And this is why it's so vital for us in our belief about how God works in salvation. We know he will raise us up because it's God the Father's will that he raise up everyone that the Father's given to him. And Jesus always fulfills the will of the Lord without fail. And people wonder, because of their own sinful selves, listen, if you question your salvation, well, are you obeying the Lord? Because if you're lost in a sea of sin, you should wonder. Not that we don't struggle with sin. We do. It's our enemy and will be until we die. But listen, if you're constantly, your life is a habitual act of disobedience to God's will, that's not a good state for a quote-unquote Christian. If you believe in Jesus, you're supposed to obey Jesus. You're supposed to try. You're supposed to want to come to church. You're supposed to want to sing praise to him. You should want to pray to him. There are valleys in our Christian walk. There are. But if you have no desire to sing or pray or be with God's people or seek the face of the Lord, something needs to change. That state is a state where you should say, I don't know if I'm really saved. You understand? There are valleys. But I'm speaking of more than that. But if you know when you sin, if you know and the Holy Spirit pokes you and you feel the sting of it immediately, I should not have done that. Or maybe it takes you a few times before you realize it. That is the Holy Spirit in our lives, reminding us and teaching us and saying, don't do that. You know what I mean. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in your mind. Do you not? We say he lives in my heart. Listen, the heart doesn't do anything but pump blood. Right? He's in our brains, isn't he? And we understand when we say Jesus is in my heart that we don't mean our actual physical heart. But we mean our thoughts and our intentions and our affections. And even more than that, even things we can't explain. But if you know that, if you seek God, if you know, I'm going to read the Bible, even though today I'm not really getting much out of it, but He's promised to give me wisdom and bless me if I seek Him, and so we do it anyway. Those are not things that non-believers do. Non-believers run away from the light and hide and deceive themselves. If you are truly seeking God, listen, you wouldn't seek God on your own. Do you know that? You would not. And there could be a hypocritical, self-righteous show like the Pharisees. But my point is, about the preservation of the saints, we should have a high degree of confidence in our Savior. He's promised to hold us. We will not fall away. If God's given us to Jesus, we will be saved. He will accomplish the mission. Jesus is always victorious. He doesn't go back to His Father. I tried, but they wouldn't come. Do you know that that is the perception of God? God has shed Jesus' blood for all people on the earth without exception. It's just, He's trying, but they won't come. No, Jesus is only victorious. His blood bought and paid for the people that the Father gave to Him. And they will come, and they'll be saved. Without fail. Verse 55, Jesus says, I will raise him, going back just a little, I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. I mean, the manna, was it valuable for them? It was. But not like the body of Jesus. Not like believing in the bread that came down from heaven. In a sense, that manna is false food when you compare it to Jesus. Jesus said, my bread is true food. My drink, true drink. That satisfies and nourishes, not for a season, not for a day, and then spoils. Brandon, eternally. His food, those who eat and drink Him, we have a beautiful life. You know that song? Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life. Eternal joy. He's my friend. It's beautiful. Whoever feeds on the flesh and the blood of Christ abides in Him, and Christ remains with the one who eats. Remember, whoever comes to Christ, whoever believes in Jesus, will abide in Jesus. And you know why? Because the Father is drawing him. He wouldn't have come if the Father wasn't drawing him. And he was taught of God also. Remember what Jesus said? They will all know, because God will teach them. And they will abide. And they will have eternal life. Do you see how each thing builds upon the next? And if you lose one of them, it falls apart. 57. Again, whoever believes, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me will also live because of me. Jesus lives because of the Father, and whoever feeds on him will live. True life. Eternal life. In a sense, this life that we have now is not a true life because it's going to end. True life is with our Savior forever and ever. This is the gospel message. not only are we condemned and sentenced to suffer eternal wrath of God, not only are we forgiven of our sins and prayed for. Listen, we are prayed for by the Son of God. Does God answer the prayers of Jesus? It's a question you don't even need to ask, right? Does He hear when the Savior intercedes? Is Jesus' prayer a fervent and effective prayer? But not only are we not condemned, we are not sentenced to suffer and die, our sins are forgiven, we are prayed for by the Son of God, but even we are given eternal life. We live in the presence of our Savior forever and ever. We feast on the bread and the blood of the Lamb. If you read in Revelation, to God be the glory. Listen, we don't do an invitation, but any believer, if you have questions about Jesus, ask us. Be happy to tell you what we know. And we'll tell you, I can't lead you to Christ, but I can tell you to cry out to Jesus, and He hears all who call. And the fact that you're even wondering about it and seeking God, that's a good sign. But ask us. We'd be happy to talk to you about Jesus and the bread of life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You again for being with us, for helping us, and mostly for sending Jesus, that we might see You manifested in Him, that we might be taught, that we might be drawn, that we might be saved. Lord, would You help us to understand the meaning of eating the bread and drinking the blood of Jesus? Would You help us to come to Jesus, to believe in Him? Oh Lord, help us. And Father, help us to be lights in this world, to shine to those around us. Give us those providential encounters. Be with us now as we eat together, as we enjoy the fellowship of the saints, and even into the afternoon service. We thank You again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.